That if you took the amount of blood that would have been spilled from all the sacrifices that had actually happened, it said you could feel it as something like, I want to say like a, right around 500 swimming pools, like Olympic-sized swimming pools, of the amount of blood. Just imagine that. Every six paces, sacrifice an oxen. That's a sacrifice. And we talk about a sacrifice of praise. Every six paces, out there in the hot, burning sun. And sometimes we get miffed because we just come to this place and the air ain't set like we want it to be. And it affects our praise and worship. It affects us. Just the little things like that. We're impatient. And we let it affect us. Verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So here we have David, the king, his kingly robes, and he disrobes his kingly robe. He's wearing nothing but a linen ephod, and he's dancing like a wild man, the king, in all his glory. But he understood what was important. He understood what was important. And this is where a lot of times you'll hear people talk about and preach that you can't allow your circumstances around you to affect your praise and worship. Just like David, of all people who should have been wondering what people thought of him, it was the king. I mean, most kings would have said, well, I can't do that. I can't disrobe myself and dance all crazy in the street in front of all my people. What are they going to think? You know, they're going to lose respect for me. They're not going to hold me up as their king like they used to. But no, David understood. We're talking about the presence of God. God is more important than what their thought is towards me. God is more important than what they may think of me tomorrow, because God is the one that put me in this place. And so when we come into this house, we got to have that mindset like David. It doesn't matter who's around us. That's why many times we'll tell people when we're trying to get them to get into the place where they can pray and receive the Holy Ghost, we tell them, close your eyes. Just get rid of distractions. Don't worry about who's around you. Just focus on God. Don't worry about who's talking next to you or what they're doing next to you. You got somebody over here doing a floppy chicken. Someone over here, you know, doing the Pentecostal clause, what they said in men's conference. You know, people can be distracting, but we have to get to that place where we just focus solely on God and what God can do in our lives. I don't want to lose out on what God has for me because of what someone else is doing next to me, distracting me. I got to learn to unfocus that. Just get it out of my vision, out of my mind. I may even have to remove myself if I have to. I may have to go to this side of the altar. I mean, make a change. What was Brother Osborne talking about? He preached on turning the page. Turn the page. Move it the other side. Change it up a little bit. If you're on this side of the church and someone's just constantly distracting you where you can't listen and pay attention, move to this side of the church. Amen. Come to the front row. It's always open. I mean, do what you got to do to get what you need from God. Whatever it is, do what you have to do. Don't let anybody be your excuse for not receiving your breakthrough, not receiving your healing, or not receiving your salvation. I don't want to stand before God and say, God, I'm sorry I didn't do it because this person was just talking and talking and I was getting distracted. Yeah, I could have got it moved, but God, I just, you know, just excuses. But ultimately, it's my excuse. I'm responsible. I have to focus on what is important. So David, focusing on God, knowing that he is the most important thing, danced wildly before the ark, praised and worshiped. I imagine it was an awesome sight. His wife didn't think so. She said in 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. She despised him. She was embarrassed of him. She was just, I can't believe you would do that. How dare you embarrass our family like that? Tarnish our name. I mean, how much worse it can be. I like David's response, though, because he's still thinking about God and what is important. Says verse 21, and David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord of Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than this, and I will abase in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. I like the way the Message Bible breaks this down. Listen to this. It says, David replied to Michal, "In God's presence, I'll dance all I want. I'll dance all I want. He chose me over your father." He's throwing it right back in her face. "How dare you be embarrassed of me? God chose me over your father and the rest of your family and made me prince over God's people, over Israel. Oh, yes, I'll dance to God's glory more recklessly even than this. And as far as I am concerned, I'll gladly look like a fool." I'll gladly look like a fool. Man, if we can get that concept when we come into this place of worship, that it doesn't matter what the world thinks of us, I will gladly look like a fool before the world if it means getting my breakthrough and getting in the presence of God. If we'll get that concept that it doesn't matter what you think of me or what you think of me, I'm coming to this place for one purpose only, and that is to let God move in my life and to see His presence move in this city. What would happen? What kind of revival would take place if we would get that mindset? Of God, just whatever I have to do to let you move, let it be done. Let it be done. I can imagine what David was thinking here. He says, "Why do I act this way?" And I can sure in his mind he would say to everyone, "You weren't there on the backside of the hill watching the sheep with me. You don't understand my background, my past. You weren't there. I used to be a nobody. I used to be a nothing, but now I'm royalty. I used to be that, but I'm not that now. That was my past, but it's not my present. You weren't there when the bear came to kill my sheep." He says, "You wouldn't be there, and you weren't there when the lion came to kill me. So you don't understand why I praise God. You don't understand what I have in my life that allows me to worship Him, because He spared my life. He spared my family. He spared my sheep. He done something in the backside of the woods that no one else saw, but I know personally what God can do. And so that's why I praise and that's why I worship." And I know many times growing up, we look at people and we look at their lives, and it's easy to judge somebody on the outside of what they may be. And we wonder, man, why do they worship like that? Why are they so crazy? Why are they so on fire for God? Well, you really don't know what they have been through. You don't know what they came out of in their life, what they experienced. You don't know how they may have been persecuted in their life for what they believe and the decisions they made. We have people in this church that because of the Word of God, because of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name, they're disowned by their family. You don't know that feeling, a lot of us, to be disowned by your family because of the truth. But people have. So David's like, "You weren't there when I went through all this, and so you don't understand my worship. You don't understand it." And again, just on the battlefield. They saw David out there on the battlefield, but they weren't out there slinging a rock. They weren't the one that God used to kill Goliath, but he was. Talk about faith builder. I preached a couple weeks ago about that, about God taking what you've done in your past, the things, the victories that God has brought you through in your past to propel you to the future. It's those things in our past that helps us in our praise and worship. Because in the times I don't feel like praising and worshiping, the times I don't really feel like giving God glory and coming to this place and giving my all in the presence of God, I have to remember back. Well, I remember what God did for me. I remember what He did for my family, and that gives me the strength and the faith to come into this place and say, "God, I'm going to praise You one more time. I'm going to give it all to You one more time because You are worthy." Amen? We got to give God what is God's. God is Jehovah Nissi, our protector. So David, he would respond, "I'm going to dance and shout like I've never shouted before." I've been asked many times, and I grew up in what's called independent apostolic movement. Those of you that don't know what that is, we are crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. The term holy rollers, we invented it. Because we literally fall down on the floor and they would roll across the floor, back and forth. Holy rollers. We take dancing and shouting to a whole new level. Women come into the front of the altar, they start shouting and spinning so fast that their hair start flying out. That's some serious shouting right there. But that's the kind of worship and stuff that we got into that were, it didn't matter who was around, who was looking. We just came to God and we just had a good time shouting. And it wasn't so much that we were trying to be emotional and just act on our emotions, but we knew that if we got to a place where we can drown out all the distractions and just say, God, I'm going to stand before you, I'm going to dance before you because you're the only one that is worthy. That's when God moved in, and I'm telling you, the presence of God that would come in and the move of God, the healings that would take place, the demons that would be cast out, all because we got into the presence of God through praise and worship. Through praise and worship. Matthew chapter 10, fast forwarding, we see the disciples being chosen by God. He called a lot of disciples, but in his plan, these 12 were the core. They were the group. And when we look at them and their names, says chapter 10, verse 2 through 4, says, now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. When you look at this list of men, Jesus formed his team with a purpose. Just like the tribes of Israel, their names each had individual meaning and a purpose for their name, of their lineage, of where they came from. And with everything Jesus was going to be doing in his ministry, his 3 years, it was very important that Jesus had a praiser in his group. A praiser in his group. He wanted someone that would be there to shout, to lift up a praise whenever it needed to be done. And so a descendant of the tribe of Judah, the man Judas, was that man. You may think, Judas, really? Judas was the praiser? His name, he was from the tribe of Judah. The line of lineage of praise. So yeah, it was Judah. It was Judas. Judas was from the long line of Judah of praise. He got someone that comes from that line purposely. None of the other disciples came from that lineage. It was only Judas. I imagine he could have picked a better person. As we all know, the story of Judas. But here he is. And so the problem is, throughout Jesus' ministry, of him teaching, performing miracle after miracle, all this stuff that Jesus has done, not once did Judas, the praiser, stand up and start giving praise to God through his ministry. Not once. The person that was supposed to be doing that, the person that was called from a lineage of praise, not once did he do that when Jesus performed a miracle. Not once did he stand up. Matthew chapter 2, water was turned into wine and praise stayed silent. Matthew chapter 8, Peter's mother was healed from her fever and the leper was healed, but praise stayed silent. Judas didn't say a word. Judas didn't make a move, didn't do anything. Mark 1, a man was cleansed from an unclean spirit, but yet praise again stayed silent through the scripture. Praise never broke out a tambourine and started dancing and saying, look at what God can do. Once did he do that in the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. The demonic man was bound in chains and he was loosed. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus fed the 5,000, but never in Scripture did you see Judas, the man that was called to be the praiser, stand up and do anything to worship God and praise Him for what he had done. He stayed silent. He stayed silent. I wonder with curiosity what would have happened if Judas would have spoke up. I wonder how many of the scriptures would be different today when we read them if Judas would have started shouting and started dancing and started the victory march when Jesus healed and raised these people from the dead. What would have happened if Judas would have just made a decision to say, God is great and greatly to be praised, and just started off a shout one time when Jesus came and did something in someone's life? What kind of revival would have happened that would have been different? Maybe it would have been a different situation with Judas where he wasn't the one that betrayed Jesus. It could have been someone else that did it. But he chose to stay silent, to keep his praise silent. And because of that, nothing ever broke out as far as a revival from a praise. Yes, Jesus' ministry was awesome. He had all kinds of things that happened in the scriptures. Oh, so many healings. So many moves of people, throngs of people trying to get to Jesus. Revival, thousands and thousands of people coming to Jesus. But how many thousands more might it have been if praise didn't stay silent in those moments? He stayed silent in all of it. You see, when praise is given, the supernatural can happen. They're connected together. When we give praise, we open up that window of heaven that allows God to pour down into our lives to do the supernatural among us. That's why times when we tell people, you're feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling weak, get in prayer. Go pray a little bit. Get into the presence of God. If you can get into the presence of God, God can move and God can strengthen you. Amen? But it's through our prayer and worship. When praise is given, God will respond. See, when the walls of Jericho came down, God gave Israel the victory, not when they were surrounding the city, not when they were walking around the city. It wasn't until the time that was appointed that in one accord, they lifted up a shout. And they sing and they shouted and they played the trumpets. That's when the walls came down. That's when the power of God moved in that situation. So we come into this house, we can come in here and we can do our little thing, walking and, you know, just coming to church and same old thing every Sunday, every Wednesday. We come in and, you know, we do our little thing, but we don't do anything extra. We don't get to that point where we come to the pivotal moment of the service where we just let out a shout and we allow God to move and break something up in our lives. Amen. We've all had those services where pastor don't get to preach. Sometimes pastor's thankful for that, sometimes he's not. But we've all had those services where we just came in here and we got in one accord. We've seen it. Where we just shouted, we praised, and God just moved into this place to where we couldn't do anything but just worship Him. And we see miracles happen, and we get testimonies of things that God did in our lives, our finances, our homes. All because we opened up the window of heaven for God to move in and do something in this congregation. That's how important it is. Amen. Paul and Silas, when you look at them, they found themselves in jail, locked behind closed doors and chained to a wall. They were beaten and they were starved. But when they started to praise God, that's when an earthquake came and shook the walls and they were freed. When they began to praise. Only when they begin to praise. They could have sat there and said, woe is me, and, you know, just scratching on the wall day one, day two, day three. But no, they in their situation, where they were at, they chose to just, they didn't get up and move. They couldn't, I got to wait till I get to church Sunday to praise. I got to wait until I can get down to the altar to give a little shout, and, you know, maybe God will do something then. I got to wait until I can get to that point. They didn't wait. They couldn't wait. They were chained to the wall. So they did it right there, started praising God and worshiping. We can do the same thing. I've been in the situation myself. I told a story a while back, a couple years ago, when I was working as a deputy. And I was just trying to really focus on God because I had to preach the next Sunday. And so I got praise music going in my patrol car while I'm driving to a call. And while I'm driving to the call, the Holy Ghost comes in my car, and I'm bawling my eyes out while I'm driving to a call. And I'm just speaking in tongues. And as I get to the call, I got to stop, and I got to collect myself. I'm like, I can't walk out like this. You know, I look like I just got through crying and everything else, got snot, and just I got to collect myself a little bit. You know, just it doesn't matter where you are at. If you will allow God and you will lift up praise, God will meet you where you are at. It can be in your home, it can be in your car, it can be on your job. It doesn't matter, but God can meet you where you are at. Right. Now, I don't recommend it being on your job because you do have to work. Yeah. You might get fired if you start breaking out in a dance and a whirly bird and speaking in tongues in the middle of your, you know, shop floor and everybody's looking at you, what's going on with him, and they're thinking you're having a seizure. It might affect your job, so I might wait until you're on your lunch break. Then you can go in your car. Amen? Just common sense. The Bible says watch and pray. Watch. Watch what you do. Amen? But Paul and Silas, they praised God where they were at, and God was able to move in their situation. They didn't wait until they got somewhere else. So the key to all this is simply, don't let your praise be silent. Don't let your praise be silent. If you let your praise be silent, it's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your family. It's going to affect your finances. It's going to affect your soul simply because you choose to be silent. And again, it doesn't matter where you're at. Don't be silent in your home. Don't be silent in your car. Don't be silent to your friends, your coworkers. Let them see who you are. You can give a praise and you can give praise to God without being all crazy and doing a whirly bird and getting fired off your job. Amen. But you can shake somebody's hand and say, hey, God is great.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
If you got a second, you can grab someone's hand and say, hey, let me tell you what God did for me this week. I just got to tell his testimony, man, because it's just so awesome. That's giving God praise by the word of your testimony. We can do that. So all through this situation, Judas stayed silent, but he could have did something different. He kept his silence. And so I wonder many times if I could go back in time, and when I was doing this lesson, this teaching, I thought, man, if I could jump in a time machine and just go back to those times, there's so many things I'd like to do, but one of those things would have been to go to the place of where Judas was in these miracles and just grab him and shake him and say, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Don't be silent. Don't be silent. Do your purpose. Your purpose was to praise. Your purpose was to give a shout, to praise God, to worship God. And it's the same with us. See, whenever we were born again in this water, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. We became the children, the heirs of the throne. We were made and designed with a purpose to give God worship and to give Him praise. We're not here just to live and just consume resources on this earth and just do our old thing. But no, God put us here for the purpose to worship Him, to reach other people to worship Him, to praise God. And that is our purpose, our function, and we can do that. God gave us two hands to clap. He gave us a voice to shout. He gave us the air to breathe to be able to do these things so we can worship Him. So we can worship Him. So don't be silent in our praise. What kind of revival will happen in this city if we choose to let out a praise and worship every time, everywhere we go? If we go into the city, if we go into the mall, wherever it is at, if we take God with us and we put on those garments of praise and we continually have a praise on our lips and on our mouth, what can happen among us in this city when we allow God to work through us? Amen. I don't want people to look at me and say, man, that's a dark and dreary person. He just looks depressed all the time. He looks like he's got nothing going on. I want people to look at me and understand that, hey, that person looks like he's living a blessed life. That person, he's always got a smile on his face. He looks like he's going through something that is awesome, that God is blessing him. I want to know what is going on in his life. I want to know what is different about him. Amen. What kind of witness is that? It's called letting your light shine. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. People should know who we are by our actions, by our words, who we are, by our praise. See, our praise is not just yelling and screaming, hallelujah. It's the way we live. We worship and praise God by living a holy life, by living a life that shows God glory. Amen. Through our actions, through our tongue. So we cannot be silent with our praise. So whatever may be in your life today, and I come to this, and this is a lot of, I wanted to include this. What brought me to this lesson, because this is a lesson I've done many years ago, but I was reminded of myself, for my spirit, of what God can do. Because whatever it is that you have need of today, God can fix it through your praise, through your shout of victory, through your hand clap, through your dance. You can open up that window for God to move. And I said this when I preached the last time when Ashley preached, Sergio Pastor was gone. And I gave my testimony about how God has healed my family many times. First with Violet, with the told we'd never have children, but yet God blesses us with a child. Amen. Then over 2 years ago, my wife being diagnosed with a tumor, possibly cancer. That's what everything showed. And then after going and getting re-scans and everything redone, they said, nope, it's that what was a tumor is just now a small cyst. No cancer. Another miracle that God did that we put in our file. And I preached that service of what God has done in your past can propel you in your future. And then now, as many, some know, some don't, but now my wife again, we've had scans done within the last year. And instead of one tumor, she now has 15 to 20 tumors possibly in her head. And they're saying everything looks like it's cancer. And we're still trying to get everything done. I keep telling my wife it's going to be okay. You know why? Because I know what God has done here. I know what God has already done. So I know what He is able to do today. And that's why regardless of the way I feel, regardless of what is happening in our life, and I'm not doing this to put myself on a pedestal, to put my wife on a pedestal in any way, shape, or form, please. I'm doing this in complete humility. But that is why, regardless of all this is going on, we're still at church. We still come down to this altar, and we come and we worship God. Because it doesn't matter what happens in our life, what may happen, just whatever God's will is, we're still going to praise and we're going to worship Him. Because ultimately, He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He is our protector. And so I do all this to tell you today as a lesson to teach you. We're going into this next service and we're going to have a shouting service. The song lineup that we have, we specifically have a song lineup for the purpose to have a shouting service today. You are going to have an opportunity to give God praise, to lift your voice, to clap your hands, and dance before the Lord. I hope we have Brother Taylor running the aisles, and God is going to be able to do a work in this place. I believe that today God can heal somebody in this house. I believe that today God can do something in your finances, in your home, in your family. God can do it today. But it's going to happen when you lift up a praise and you allow God to work in your life. It is up to you. It is up to you. I can't dance for your victory. I can't shout for your healing today. You have to do it for yourself. I'll dance with you and I'll shout with you, but you got to break out into praise on your own. You got to get a shout on your own for God this morning. Amen? Stand with me this morning. So do not let your praise be silenced. Do not let your praise be silent. Amen. Let that be the theme for this week, every day when you wake up. I'm not going to let my praise be silent today. I'm not going to let my praise be silent on my job. I'm not going to let my praise be silent while I'm around my family. I'm going to lift up a praise at all times. I'm going to continually have a praise on my lips. Amen. Hallelujah, God, I thank you, Jesus.